All right, good evening, everyone. Today is 2/24/2025. Not that you needed to know that, but just in case. Anyway, I hope you all had a wonderful week. We are getting back, and I apologize. We had missed a week or two again due to illness and stuff. But we are on page 103 of King James Bible, Exodus 29, and we are just starting chapter 29. And if you remember, Moses at this point is making and doing everything with the tabernacle and everything else. So, you know, he's the ephod, now the priest's robes and everything else so that they can do their jobs. And this is, everything is very, very holy. Everything being done is the best of the best. God has given these instructions to Moses and the priests and the other tribes as he selected, of Israel, the 12 tribes, and everyone has contributed to do everything. And here we go now. And I mean, to the point of the accuracy of making the tabernacle, God is definitely making this the holy of holiests. So let's get on to it. And we're now at the consecration of the priests. And this is the thing that thou shalt do under them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And of course, you could see it's going to be different in the New Testament. Why is there a sacrifice? Why is this happening the way that this wants? And God is very specific about this. And a lot of people have always questioned that. Well, God is glory. God is grace, God is merciful, God is good, and we should be glorifying to him. And you'll notice it kind of gives you an idea of the spiritual God that he is. He sees, he can talk, he uses all the senses, and he tells him a lot of times, a sweet savor that runs on up to him. But let's move on. Here we go. And Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle with the congregation, and shall wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron one coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, and this skin, and dung, shall thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood, and sprinkle it around upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram into pieces, and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them into and put them into pieces unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor. You understand? A sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And there it is. Now you're going to see this again in Revelations, and these parallelisms and theology and everything that goes with it. And down in Revelations, you will see then the people that were sacrificed and everything in Christ's name. How much longer, Lord, before you avenge us? And he said, a little while longer until the rest are martyred, you know, for Christ. And then they put white robes around them. So we have these spirits, okay? You have a soul, you have a spirit, the Holy Advocate, and they're up there. They can see. They're communicating. They have form, because how would you put the white robes on them? They can hear, and they can talk. I mean, every single sense is, you know, is there. And it's very interesting. And, you know, God himself, it's a sweet savor to the Lord. And it's just wonderful when you think about all this. Okay, but here we go. and I love reading about it too. So it's really kind of cool. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then thou shalt kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon and around about. And thou shalt take that of the blood that is upon the altar, and the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons, and his sons' garments with him. Notice that God here is consecrating them, okay? Aaron is the high priest from God. God has chosen him. So in a lot of ways, he is, in the order of Melchizedek, there he is. And it's very interesting here that God is also making sure that they are holy, holy. They're in his temple. They are clean in God's eyes. And as we go through this, and you know, they're hallowed, man. He's making sure that everything is done exactly how he wants it. And thou shalt take the ram, the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder. For it is the ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oil, oiled bread, and one of water out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and thou shalt wave. It's a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor. Here it is again, before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram in Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering, and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved, and which is heaved up, and the ram of the consecrations, even of that which is for Aaron, and that which is for his sons. You know, and this is all held right before the altar. All these things take place right there at the altar. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel, For it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord, and the holy garments of Aaron and his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. If you go into Matthew and you start getting to 12:4 and Leviticus again, 6:16 and everything, Christ is breaking the bread. You know, this is my body. Remember me in this. You know, drinking the wine. This is my blood. Remember in me. Okay? Remember me. This is the covenant that I've had with you. That's going to be the new covenant. Okay? These are covenants. These are actions. These are holy actions before God to do a proper way. We wouldn't want to go to God at our worst. We want to go to God at our best. And you'll notice water's always in there. You'll notice in the New Testament, and we're going to get into that in a little later, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, water. Everything is in agreement. So we're seeing that. And another thing that you will notice is, too, the washing of feet that Christ did. And the washing of feet before you go, when Moses went, take your sandals off. The burning bush, when God came through, the angel and then God. And he says, you were on holy ground. A lot of that, if you look at the parallelisms of that and everything else, when we walk this earth, we are walking in Christ God's footsteps. Okay, that's how we're supposed to be walking. So it's important. It not only Christ not only showed that he serves. And if you remember, the first will become last, the last will become first. You know, you don't know what this meaning is right now, but you will understand it later. You know, if you're going to be great, then you have to learn how to serve. That's the way to greatness. But you have to walk in the footsteps to do that. So you're going to see a lot of this that's going through. And, as I see it, I will try to point it out as best as I can. And that's my interpretation. You have to understand, the Bible is open to so many different interpretations. It's going to be how you see it. All right, let's get back. And now here we are. We're on page 105. We're right at the top here, verse 34. And if aught of the flesh of the consecrations or the bread remain until the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. It's, you know, and thus shall thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shall thou consecrate them, and thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. This is a very special ceremony, okay, that everything is going on. And for 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. So understand something. God is only going to let Aaron, the priests, and his sons in there. Understand, they're at the office. They are going to be ministering before God. And why is that so hard for people to understand? Angels do this all the time. God created them to do this. And why shouldn't he get praise and glory? If you look at all the wonderful things that he's done through his works, through everything that he has done, merciful and loving, and it's been just an unyielding love. And that's for man. And we're the worst. Face it. We're the biggest sinners all the time. And we're going to prove this throughout. We're only in Exodus. Just wait till we continue on. And you're going to see, you're going to face plant and head plant when you start to see the things that we do every time that we disobey God. But these are the things God has given commandments. And these are exactly what he wants. Okay? And he's clear about it. He's very clear about it. You know, according to the things which I have commanded thee, 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. There's a liaison between God and them. You understand? And that's how it was in Old Testament. New Testament's going to be different. Christ, that liaison, gave his life for us because of our sins. So, you know, that is now... You don't need an intercession, okay? A lot of people believe you need an intercession to get to Christ, to get to God. No, you don't, okay? I disagree with that wholeheartedly. First of all, I would never tell people to follow religion. I would not say that. I would say spirituality. Follow Christ in spirit. After all, do you not have the Holy Spirit in you? Did not God give you the advocate to guide your ways? So, I mean, there's a little difference of opinion there, and that's my opinion. He wants to hear directly from us. When we call him and we're in need, he wants to hear directly from us. It's okay to have somebody pray for you if you're sick or something else. That's different. But when you're asking for intercession so that you can communicate with that person, that they can communicate with this person, and that person communicates with God, no. You should be able to go to God yourself. That's the whole purpose of Christ coming and dying for us. He's not as far as you think. And he wants you at your worst, because when you're at your worst, that's when you're talking to him the most. And that's when he wants to hear from you. Even when you're at your best, he still wants to hear from you. Now, here we go. Verse 38, the continual offerings of the priest. Now, this is that which thou shalt offer upon my altar. 2 lambs of the first year by day, continually. 1 lamb shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb shall offer at evening. And with 1 lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb shall thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And that's how it is. It has to be that way. And again, there's that sweet savor, you know, unto the Lord. But everything is holy and consecrated. God's coming to meet you, and he's coming all the way down. He's here. He's everywhere. But I mean, he's coming to you to meet you. I think that's incredible. Where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Here's our meeting place. Come on. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am, and there's that I am again, the Lord their God. It's cool. I think it's just wonderful. Can you imagine being in that time, being in that time frame, and being able to meet with God? I would be in such just wow, you know, awe. And but at the same time, I'd be scared, you know. I mean, you have to fear the Lord. I would be afraid, but at the same time, I would have loved to have been there in that time. Now, I don't know why, but I could just, oh, that would be so cool. So, and thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it, and a cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns, therefore, shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. The top thereof, and the sides thereof, round about, and the horns thereof, shalt thou make unto a crown of gold round about. And the two golden rings that thou shalt make, to make it under the crown of it, the two corners thereof upon the sides of it shall thou make, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony before the mercy seat, that is the testimony where I will meet with thee. And again, you could see now that the ark, the covenant of God, that's his place. That's his judgment seat. Understand that where he sits when he comes to meet us, it is the most holy, okay, in that tabernacle. And that's where he's going to meet with us. And it's fantastic. So, all right. And that's why he says here, I just think it's really cool. And Aaron shall burn thereupon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. And he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighten the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And understand, he's telling you he loves the sense of incense too, the scent of incense too. And he shall offer no strange incense thereon. Here's one of these commands, and this is going to be important because it is going to come up. No strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink and offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement on it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Now notice what he's saying there about the incense, knowing what he's saying there. Don't have anything strange here. This is a most holy spot. So these commands are important. And Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When those numbers them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after each shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and a half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than a half shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make atonement for your souls. Here's your souls. And the wonderful thing is, later on, you're going to see in the New Testament, spiritually, you know, we have the advocate, the Holy Spirit. You have your soul, you have the Holy Spirit. So, you know, understand these things. The Holy Spirit is protecting your soul, okay? He's not protecting your flesh, okay? Because you know what? We're not getting out of this world alive as far as the flesh goes. But he is protecting your soul. If you choose to let him and you do not quench him and do not hinder him. All right, so here we go. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and thou shalt anoint it for the service of the tabernacle, the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash wherein thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. It's a tub, basically. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. And again, there's your hands, there your feet. Whatever you're touching, when your feet, you're walking in the Lord. And it goes right back into that again. Take your sandals off. You're on the most holy ground. So here we go. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash their hands with water, that they die not. Listen to that. Okay? Wash with water. They shall wash with water, that they die not. And when they come near to the altar to minister the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be as a statute for them, forever to them, even to him, to through his seed throughout the generations. This will always happen. You will be clean. You will be present before God. He deserves that. You owe him that. We all owe him that, to be at our best. The anointing oil. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto the principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus, and 250 shekels of cassia, and 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary of the oil of a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound, after the art of the apothecary, and it shall be in a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation wherewith that the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and all his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his vessels, and the labor of his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whosoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate him, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Don't make it common. This is a special mixture that God has given them, telling them exactly how to make it. You're not to put it just on you at all, anything else. You want to make something else, but you're not to do that. It is most holy, and that's it. It's for the sanctuary and everything else. So, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy and anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured, neither shall make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, take ye the sweet spice, stakti and yaicha and gabinum, and these sweet spices with pure frankincense, each shall there be like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume confection after the art of apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. Well, I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy, as a perfume which thou shalt make. You shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy of the for the Lord. Whoever shall make like unto that to smell thereunto shall be cut off from his people. This is a perfume. This is a lotion. This is, you know, everything he is doing. He's giving explicit instructions, what to do, what not to do. How it's to be used. So now we're on chapter 31 here, page 106, King James, the instructions for building the tabernacle. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have called my name Beazazel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. I have fulfilled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, in a manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in the gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in a carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship, engraving, artful. He's, you know, you can see these things. And I, behold, have given with him Holab, the son of Ashimach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table of the furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver for his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments for his son to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee shall they do. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doeth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth shall surely put out, shall be put to death. For whosoever do any work therein, thou shalt be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever do any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant, is forever. And we will see. Now you're going to say, okay, well, wait a minute. In the New Testament, Christ is here, and he even says himself that he's in charge of the Sabbath. You know, what is, and Christ says, hey, is it good or evil to heal a man on the Sabbath? What is it? Is it good to do good or evil? And of course, they said, well, to do good. And he said, my Father is always working, therefore I'm always working. Very interesting. But you know what? Big difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. So we're gonna learn that. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, and you already know about the covenants, the two tables are presented. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, the two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Ten Commandments. The covenants, the agreement, you know, everything is all inclusive in these tablets. But we know with the finger of God, he wrote the Ten Commandments. So here we go. Not once, did it twice. Don't forget that. Israel willfully breaks the covenant. Here's one of these moments, and here we go. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, make us a God which shall go and bear before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we won't not what is become of him. So they're not sure because Moses was up there for a while. So I find this very disturbing. And now we're gonna kind of get into that now. And Aaron said unto him, break off your golden earrings, and we already know all that. And the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And of course he cast a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, old Israel. And when Aaron saw, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Somehow or another, I think we skipped something here. So I am going to take a look back here because... we all know what happened then. Moses had to end up pleading with God, and we know this. Chapter 36. And it kind of goes back, and it's repeating what happened when they were first brought out of the land of Egypt, when God brought them out. And it's very interesting how that this happened, because if you remember, Moses had to plead before God, and he said, please, Lord, repent and don't go down there and, you know, destroy the people that you just brought out of Israel, for everyone will say, and the Egyptians will say, you know, God couldn't even deal with them or whatever. So God said, fine, I shall. You know, he interceded for his people. And then he said, go away. You know, you go away. And, you know, for these people have waxed me hot. He gets down there. He sees what they're doing. And of course, as you know, he's like, oh, okay. And he threw the tablets right down and smashed it on the calf and then stomped it into oblivion. Okay, and I'm sure at that point you're thinking, okay, why did God choose Aaron, you know, as high priest and his sons when he clearly was the one that devised this and made this? The best way to describe that is God can make the worst people that we have on earth the best. Look at the disciples. look at all the things that are going to happen in the Bible as we go through them. I don't know how I got. We're at the guidance of the priests. We've already done that. Just have flipped over and missed something. Because we're getting ready to go into Leviticus here. So I kind of got lost here just for a second, guys, and I apologize. Moses intercedes for Israel. So we're going to go back. We're going to look at this again. And Moses brought unto the Lord God and said, Why doeth thy wrath wax hot against the people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. He has wanted to harm him. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the servants to whom thou sworest by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the lands that I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables written on both sides, and on one side and on the other they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing I do hear. And it came to pass, as the sons, he came at night unto the camp, and that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and they cast and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and to the ground in powder. And he ground it in the ground as powder and strawed upon it with water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee? And thou hast brought so great a sin upon them. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said to him, whatsoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, and he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. I mean, they've done this horrible, horrible thing. And I love how Moses kind of says, you know, I just threw the gold in the fire and up came this calf. I mean, and he knows the people were full of mischief. We're going to see that again, another parallelism, where you're going to see Pilate say, I have found nothing wrong in Christ. I find no blame in him that he should be put to death. And yet he's going to punish Christ. And then he said, I'm going to release him then. And we know that his wife, Pilate's wife, said, listen, have nothing to do with this man, his innocent, this innocent man. I'm having these dreams. They're not good. Have nothing to do with it. And that's why he said, I wash my hands of this. Well, he was afraid of the people uprising against him and being riots and everything else. Aaron's kind of in that same spot right here. So you can kind of see right in line with each other. And he let it go too far. No question. So now Moses has to atone for Israel. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Preadventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. What book? The book of life? Well, isn't that what we're already saying? We know there's a book. So you could see Moses' wisdom. God has given him instructions on everything. He is all-knowing, okay? And he knows this. Blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. That's the book of life. And you can see it all the way back then. So when Christ is talking about the book of life, the being with the Father, there it is. Now you know. Again, it goes to reprove, the Bible goes to reprove itself. And it's very interesting because you can see this going back and forth. Like I said before, everything in the background, just pay attention to everything. And it's hard to do. It's hard for me too because, I'm still learning. And why I love it and I enjoy it, and I always say it's the greatest love story. It's very, little things that you miss. And Moses returned unto the Lord, as you know, and he said, this people have sinned a great sin. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And so now God's going to send his angel. Therefore, now go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they had made a calf which Aaron made. He smote them. And we're going to stop here. We're on chapter 33. The tabernacle is moved outside the camp. And I want to make sure I've got you guys hooked up. We were on. Yep. We were on 103. I know that. One. So we're gonna. Yep, there we are. 2325. So now here we go. And we are on. Again, I lost my pen. I'm so bad at this. We are on chapter 33, page 108, King James Bible. And it's going to be the tabernacle is moved outside the camp. So that's going to be very interesting. It really is going to be kind of cool. And you can see that Moses knows everything, all the instructions that God wanted done. As far as building the tabernacle and everything else, because everything was precise, but it was because God put the power in them for the knowledge and the information that they needed in order to carry out the duty. And now they've created this great sin, with the Lord. So now we're going to see what happens. But you notice that God did not hold Moses accountable. So it's very interesting. The angel is going to go, and I will visit their sin upon them. God is going to hold them, and the Lord plagued the people because they made a calf, which Aaron made. So he's punishing them. He's not turning around saying, okay, you're leading them. You're the one responsible. I'm going to punish you. No, they sinned. So understand something. And they gave away their souls. They gave away their lives because they went and worshiped a false god. So it's very important to us today, even in the Ten Commandments, as you know, it says, worship God, only God. That's it. There is no other God. And it holds true today, just as it did back then. More so. We have a living God that we live within the midst of. And it is absolutely wonderful. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight to you all. Have a good week, and we'll get back to this. I don't know where my mind was that I kind of skipped ahead, but here we are. We're going to stay on chapter 33. I'm going to find my pen that I have put somewhere so that I can write this down. Somehow or another, my pen disappeared. Log this in, and we will start up again next week. And I apologize again because, you know, I've had some health-related issues that I am trying to work out and getting treated for, and it's just been kind of interesting, to say the least. So listen, God bless. Take care. Be good to one another. Love each other. Okay? And we'll see you this next week. All right? And we'll get right back at it. Thanks.